actually homeschooled for first through 12th. My parents didn't really, they've done public school, private school, Christian school. So they didn't really like that. So I was homeschooled. And I liked it. It was good.
So you have, let me make sure I understand. There's 7 total children or 8 children and you have 7 siblings?
No, so there's 7 total.
Okay, 7 total children, and you were homeschooled. So your mom, how many of you were homeschooled simultaneously?
Well, when I was younger, there were 3 of us, but as I got older, there were 2, and then my sister graduated, because there's a big gap between me and my sister, so she graduated, and for like, around... Wait, I can't do the math. Around like 13, well, maybe a little younger, junior high to high school, I was by myself. I did the co-op where I do homeschool classes with other homeschoolers. I volunteered. So I did get out of the house.
And you had an interaction with other students and obviously in a co-op model. So you're the youngest of 7.
Yes, I am the youngest.
Okay. And how do you feel about being homeschooled? I guess you don't have any comparison between homeschooled and having gone to, an institutional, more traditional school. Do you feel like you got a really good education at home, set you up to study biology in college and become a pediatric radiologist?
There was some stuff I couldn't do as a homeschooler, but that's okay. I mean, I worked really hard. I mean, I was able to, I did a video school and I saw like a classroom. So I wasn't naive to the idea of what classroom looks like. And also I had public school friends too. So like, even though I didn't go to public school, I kind of knew how it worked in a sense. So And also, when I went to homeschool co-op, I knew how to interact with adults. It's not like I never seen an adult or a teacher in my life. So, as a college student, I didn't feel too shocked. The only thing was it required more walking around campus, but I don't think homeschooling hurt me. I mean, I've made the dean's list twice, so I figured I was okay.
Sounds like you were definitely okay. So, tell me about why you were interested in doing this and telling your story. Because obviously you have stuff on your mind and things you want to express. What do you know about your early life? How old were you? And what do you know about the circumstances? Were you in an orphanage? Were you cared for by a Chinese family before you came home?
Well, this is where it gets interesting, because I've never heard of an adoptee having this situation. But actually, I don't remember a lot, so I'm going by what people have told me. But recently, I got in contact with one of the former orphanage workers. She volunteered there. She's European, and she volunteered there for 10 years. So I got some good information from her and pictures. And according to her and the documents she showed me, I was actually like 4 days old and went to the orphanage. And there's a debate on when my actual birthday is, but I'm just going with the legal one. So I stayed there for like 3.5-4 years, depending on the birth that you use. I was loved, apparently. I from the pictures, I looked very happy. I know with the orphanage, I was diagnosed as slow and mentally retarded. I beat that odd. They probably thought I was slow because of my disability, and I walked really slow, so I guess physical, they thought it was mental too, I don't know. had pneumonia, I found out from one of the pictures. There was a note on the back. That's pretty much it. I don't really remember a lot. It's just stories from people.
So I have a couple of questions from this. The first is, how did you find this European orphanage worker? How did that all come about where you two were in contact?
Oh, that's an interesting story. This makes me sound like a really weird person trying to stalk her, but I found the Chongqing Social Welfare Center is partner with International China Concern, and I got on the ICC website and I contacted them and I showed them a picture and I specifically said, who is this blonde lady? And then they got back to me, they got the email, and they were like, would you like to contact her? And my intention was to just to say thank you for taking care of me, because she was the one that took me to my parents, so she played a big part in my life, and I just want to thank her. But then we started building a relationship, and now I'm in contact with her quite frequently, and it's really nice.
Where is she from? What country?
I told her that I wouldn't give the specifics of where she lives, and I want to respect her privacy.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that. So, you were able to have a kind of rapprochement, a moment of important reconnection with your history.
Yes.
And you said you kind of stalked her a little bit. So obviously you were really interested in finding out about your early life. Can you tell me about those feelings? When did they start? Do you remember? And what kinds of questions have you asked yourself over the years?
Well, I don't really think these feelings like started all of a sudden. I think I've always wondered what happened those 4 years of life that my parents weren't involved. So I kind of just wondered, and it took me a while to find contact information with the group. So I was, and then it took me a while to be brave to email them. And then I finally showed the picture, and that's kind of how it all started, I guess. It was just, it was really cool meeting, well, quote unquote, meeting her, and just getting to know her again, and that's pretty much it.
How did your adoptive parents feel about all of this? Did you talk with them about, you know, you're wanting to reconnect and find out some information?
They, from what they've told me, they thought it was really cool that I got to reconnect with someone who took care of me, and they remember her in China, because they were in China for a little bit, and they really liked her in China, so they were really happy I got to meet her again.
And then you also mentioned that you have a disability. What's the nature of your disability?
It's hip dysplasia. So it's quite hard to, it can be very hard to walk long distance. So that's it.
Is there any corrective surgery that can be done or has been done?
I received surgery when, actually in China, I was supposed to be fostered to go to the U.S. to get surgery, but then China said no for some reason. I don't know why. And then when I was adopted, I got evaluated here in the States, and then I got surgery, but it didn't turn out, it didn't do as much as they wanted to. And if they did more, it could risk of me not walking at all. So my parents decided she can walk, and she, at that time I wasn't in like a lot of pain, so it was chosen to not do more.
How old were you then?
I was about, four, five. I'm really you tire. I can't do it now.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. You're giving us the ballpark. So do you walk with assistance, or are you able to walk on your own? Do you need a cane or a walker or a helping instrument of any kind, or are you pretty much able to get around on your own?
I can get around on my own. I mean, I walk kind of slower than the average person, but I get there eventually. I mean, if I had to run from like a bear or something, I could. I just would like really hurt afterwards.
I suffice it to say, I think if any of us had to run from a bear, it would hurt afterwards. And there are probably many people who are not disabled who could not run from a bear. So this says that you're in fine shape. So, what story do you feel like you want to tell? What's out there about adoption, being Chinese, being adopted, or both? Is there any sort of thing in the public narrative that gets under your skin that you feel needs some correction?
Oh, okay. I can think of two right now. The first one is that some may disagree, but I've noticed adoption is always painted as like one-sided. Like, I recently wrote an article on No Hands But Ours. It's an adoption site, and it's adoptive parents giving advice and all that stuff, and they give really good advice actually, and giving tips on post-adoption and how you can help your kids and stuff like that. And I wrote an article recently about adoption, looking on both sides of the coin, and I used a coin analogy, and I use that because I feel like adoption is viewed one-sided a lot of the times by the public, or even sometimes adoptive parents, not my parents, but like just kind of generally. Like, I feel like it's always viewed as the happy, it's amazing, and it is amazing, but also people may realize when you get your adopted child, it's not going to be beautiful all the time and going to bond with them. They're going to go through struggles, you're going to go through struggles while you're going through this new family life. The second one would be, I guess, biculturalism. I think, maybe this is a misconception, but I think parents or people just need to consider or think about, like, as a Chinese, well, for a lot of international adoptees, like considering the birth culture and whatever country got adopted to, just use America, for instance. So it's kind of hard for the adoptee to be like, am I Chinese? Am I just American? Am I both? So I think that's another thing to really consider.
Do you feel, have you seen the documentary Somewhere Between?
Yes, mm-hmm. I have.
And what did you think of it?
Oh, I felt a lot. I thought it was a good movie. It was emotional for me. I did cry. But I did like it. I do feel sometimes somewhere in between, as the movie suggests, about my identity.
About kind of being Chinese, being American, being somewhere, actually somewhere in the middle. And is this, when you grew up, were you in a community that had many other Chinese people or even Asian people? Did you guys do like the Moon Festival and the Chinese New Year? How much sort of Chinese cultural stuff did you do, if any?
Oh, okay. Well, I know when I was, like, younger that I don't remember, we had this adoption group and we did stuff with them. But then we don't actually have a lot of Asians in my neighborhood, so I didn't really grow up like best friends. I mean, I saw Asian people. I don't want to imply that, but like I wasn't like best friends with many. But also I reconnected with some other adoptees that live near me, because we kind of lost connection because we were young and then we got busy with our lives, and then we reconnected and I started doing stuff with them. So I've done some Chinese stuff on and off. It's only been recently, it's been more consistent, I guess, because I have more time, I'm more available, I guess.
Do you, this may be wrong, I'm just wondering, do you think it may be also more consistent because you're older and I'm wondering if when you go to college, when you went to college, if, are there other Chinese students who you're meeting, Chinese American students? Sometimes I think, I've sort of been talking to a lot of adoptees, and college seems to be a very pivotal experience in many ways, including this way, because suddenly you're in this sort of broader community and there are other students who are of all different ethnicities who are coming into an awareness about their identity, their ethnic identity, and these kinds of questions. And so you have more of a community to kind of share this stuff with. And I wonder if that's also happening with you. Are you meeting other students who are also have questions?
Yes, I would say that as I got older, like, I met more people. I actually, I recently, like a year ago, met this girl who came from China. Like, she's not adoptee, she's actually a foreign exchange student. That's the word. Mm-hmm. So I've recently come in more contact with more people. A couple of the professors at my university are Chinese, so I got influence from them. So, yes, I would agree. As I got older, more opportunities have come.
Have you been back to China at all?
No, I haven't. I want to, but just the timing, money is not available right now.
So maybe later.
Yes, I would definitely consider.
So I read your piece that you mentioned that you wrote, and I thought it was very thoughtful and balanced, considerate. You obviously feel like there's sometimes parents are not really emotionally prepared for the transition that will happen when they bring a new adopted child into their home, that it's not, as you say, this sort of fairy tale. Can you offer parents from your perspective now as a young adult, if I asked you to offer parents who are newly bringing children home, you know, a key piece of advice, what would it be?
I guess it would depend on the age of the child, but I think that if you don't bond with your child at first, whether the child's a baby or 13, like, it takes, I mean, I bonded well with my parents, but for others, maybe, it takes time to, like, I don't know, to like really bond, and you can't expect once you get your child, you're gonna love your family forever. It just takes a while to get used to that, I guess.
I think that's really good advice, and I think the way that children express their anxiety in a new situation can be very varied depending on the age of a child. You know, an older child may act out or may be difficult for a while. My daughter was 2 when she came home. So she was a toddler, which is already a very, you know, an age that can be tough because kids are becoming, they're trying to push away a little bit and find a little toddler independence. She had been talking a lot in Chinese. She was speaking a lot and suddenly got back here and boom, she couldn't communicate. So she was extremely frustrated. Who could blame her? And she had, you know, really some pretty serious tantrums over the course of the first year. And I was very fortunate that my mother was a very smart woman and who taught reading and language and later taught Latin. So she had sort of an understanding of how language. And she said to me, this will stop the minute she can express herself verbally. And that's exactly what happened. Shortly before her 3rd birthday, she started to be able to really express herself in English, and she never had a tantrum again. Never. I mean, now she's 10. So I had to figure out how to ride that period out and to try to set boundaries, you know, because you can't let your kid run roughshod all over the place for anyone's sake, but also to understand this was part of her adjustment and probably also part of her bonding. She was figuring me out. I was figuring her out. So I think your advice is really good advice. Just be patient and things will settle in.
Yes.
So is there anything you'd like to kind of put out in the world? Any thought or idea that you would like to get out there that you want to make part of this interview?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, I want to just tell you that I'm really have enjoyed talking with you, and I got all your material, so we will put your story up on the site. Okay, great. And I wish you the best in school. I hope you have a great semester. What year are you now?
I'm a sophomore. I'm studying biology and a minor in Spanish.
Oh, wow. How's your Spanish? Did you do a lot of Spanish at home?
Oh, no, my parents don't speak Spanish. It's actually quite funny. I'm more fluent in Spanish than I am in my first language.
Well, so you've only studied, so did you start studying Spanish in college, or were you studying it when you were homeschooled as well?
I took Spanish in high school. I hated it. So in college, the reason I actually took Spanish was to get out of communications in English. So I really hate talking to an audience in English, so I thought it'd be better in a foreign non-English language, so I chose Spanish.
Do you hate talking to an audience in English because you feel shy?
Maybe. I don't like people staring at me because I get a lot of stares anyway, so just them staring at me is really hard.
You get stares because of your hip?
Yes. That's why I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
That must be tough. Does anybody ask you stupid questions?
Yes, and also that actually reminds me of something of my pet peeve about adoption is if you're special needs adoption or whatever, or just if you're even your healthy adoption, those are probably really bad terms to describe it. Don't ask, strangers need to know not to ask really ignorant questions. It really just gets under my skin when people are asking, are those your real parents? Like, just out of the blue, like, it's not in the appropriate context.
How do you respond when you're asked questions like that?
Well, it kind of depends if I want to be nice or not.
When you want to be nice, what do you say?
Yes, these are my parents.
And when you don't want to be nice, what do you say?
Yes, they're real. They're not made out of plastic.
I bet that sets them back a pace or two.
Yes.
Sounds like you can handle yourself, Perry Lou.
Oh, thank you.
Can we keep in touch?
Oh, sure.
Because you can update your story, you know, on the site. So as the years go by, if you want to add to it, kind of, you know, over time, just kind of update about what's going on in your life, what's happening. I just want you to know that you're very welcome to do that. And you can always contact me and I'll help you, or you could get on the site and do it yourself. It's totally up to you, but I'm hoping that the people who participate will keep us up to date on how things are going in their lives.
Oh, that's cool. I hope to be more involved in the adoption community. That's the reason I wrote the article and then also contacted you. I'm also looking maybe interning at an adoption agency, see if that works out.
I think that sounds great, and I think that you would be a wonderful voice, a wonderful addition. You will be and are to the really vibrant and wonderful conversation that's going on among adoptees, and I want to thank you again for talking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.